Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special welcome to our guests and our visitors. And if you are here for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us at St. Benedict's. We're so happy to have you. This week, our nation lost one of our greatest spiritual leaders, the Reverend Billy Graham. He was not just a national spiritual leader for thousands and thousands of people who attended his incredible crusades and rallies, but he was also a personal spiritual director of sorts to many of our nation's presidents and other leaders in our nation, in our world. So it is a great loss. There's a great story about his life, though. He was once in a very small town where he was preparing to preach a big crusade, and he'd just gotten a haircut. And he was walking out of the barber shop, and as he was going down the street, he wanted to mail a letter. And so he encountered a young man, and he said to the young man, do you know how I get to the post office? And the young man said, oh, yes, sir, just go straight down the street, hang a right and hang a left. He gave him all the directions, and Reverend Graham felt quite satisfied that he knew where he was going. So then he asked the young man, well, will you be joining us tonight? You know, we're having a big crusade. And the young man asked, well, what's the topic? He said, well, the topic is how to get to heaven. And the young man looked at Reverend Graham and said, okay, you don't know how to go to the post office, but you're going to teach me how to get to heaven? Right after 9/11, Reverend Graham preached at the National Cathedral, an Episcopal church, you know. The real name of it is Saints Peter and Paul, the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul. But we call it the National Cathedral because it is that. It is the nation's house of prayer for special events. And the president created a day of prayer and remembrance right after the awful tragedy, and the preacher was Reverend Graham himself. And on that occasion, Billy Graham said this: here in this majestic National Cathedral, we see all around us the symbol of the cross. For the Christian, the cross tells us that God understands our sin and our suffering, for he took them upon himself in the person of Jesus Christ. From the cross, God declares, I love you. I know the heartaches and the sorrows and the pain that you feel, but I love you. The story does not end with the cross, for Easter points us beyond the tragedy of the cross to the empty tomb. It tells us that there is hope for eternal life, for Christ has conquered evil and death and hell. Yes, there is hope. From the cross, God declares, I love you. My friends, when we hear today's gospel, the first thing we encounter is Peter not wanting to accept the reality of the cross. You can almost imagine hard-headed Peter, right? With his fingers in his ears going, no, don't tell me, Lord, don't tell me. Jesus, don't say that, right? He didn't want to hear anything about pain and suffering. He didn't want to hear anything about the passion. And the gospel tells us that Jesus rebuked him. And Jesus says those strong words that we know, get behind me, Satan. But then he comes out and he tells all of his disciples, he turns to the group that was there and says to them, if anyone wishes to follow me, They must take up their cross and follow me each day. The reality of the cross. Peter did not want to embrace it, and neither do we. Because the cross implies suffering, pain, sometimes loneliness. The cross is sometimes a bodily or physical illness. The cross can be grieving, distance from loved ones, incarceration, abandonment, abuse. Name the cross. Only you can name your cross. Each of us have at least one. And Peter did not want to deal with it. Neither do we. But the cross is something that Jesus says we must take up each day. We cannot ignore it. We cannot avoid it. For Christians, the cross is more than a challenge. It's a way of life. The Lenten journey is all about going from death to resurrection. It's all about embracing all of the limitations of the present moment. Remember how we started this Lenten journey? Ashes were put in our foreheads in the form of a cross. Do you remember that? And we were reminded of our mortality. We were reminded that we too, like Jesus, will experience death, and that only through that experience of death will we have life. And the cross is a condition Jesus places before us for discipleship. If anyone wishes to be my follower, he must deny himself or herself and take up the cross. That means we must go beyond ourselves. Because the cross ultimately is about embracing the will of God, but not for the sake of suffering or being weighed down, embracing the will of God in order to go from death to life. So it means putting aside some of those things that really don't allow us to be the fullness of what God has created us to be. You know one of the great things about Billy Graham? In the midst of segregation in this nation, he allowed everyone to take part in his rallies and in his events. Our presiding bishop this week, Bishop Curry, that's one of the things he said in his statement. He said, you know, in a time when, especially in the South and other places, people of color, black people, and white people couldn't worship in the same place. When it came to Billy Graham's revivals and all that, they were all welcome. They were all brought together. See, that's vision. As a follower of Jesus, he understood that that was part of his vision. Today, we have religious leaders that seem to be polarizing us, whether they're on the left or on the right, here or there. It always makes me wonder, you know, how do people talk? How do you have a conversation where people are one on one end and one on the other? It's impossible. Unless you come together, you never really get to know what others are thinking, right? So part of our cross today is living in the midst of all of that tension and strife and knowing that we're being called more and more to come together. If you wish to be my followers, take up your cross and follow me. Discipleship is about putting aside maybe some of my comfort zones. I'm comfortable here, so maybe this is where I should stay. Or I'm comfortable doing this, so maybe that's what I should do. Well, have you ever thought that maybe God is calling you to discomfort? Maybe God is calling you to some discomfort. I believe that's what Jesus means when he says, you want to follow me? Take up your cross. That means crosses come in different forms, different challenges in your life. It may not come natural to you to visit the sick or help the poor, but it may be God's call. It may not come natural to you to worry about those who suffer from injustice or those who are hungry, but that may be God's call. It may not come natural to you to sit with someone who's lost a loved one. You may not like to talk about death, but that may be God's call. If you look around our world today, there are so many needs, so many people crying out in need of someone who will love them and care for them in their situation. That may be God's call. The fact is that each and every one of us in this church are being called to take up our cross and follow him, to come out of our comfort zone and to accept what God may be asking of us. And I think Peter, you know, was a great example of this. I don't remember if it was a few weeks back. Remember we had the great transfiguration? Remember that? And they were up on the top of the mountain. And what did Peter say? Oh, it's so great to be here, right? Let's just build 3 tents. Let's stay up here. Remember that? Let's hang out up here. And Jesus says, sorry, we got to go back down to reality. All of us do that. When we find that spot where we'd like to be, we kind of want to stay there. Yet everything that happens in our life happens for a reason. Every twist and turn, everything that happens, happens because God is inviting us to something. And sometimes it may be totally new. I want to share with you this anonymous, inspirational reflection. It's a person of faith who prays. And every time there's a prayer, there's a response from God. It goes something like this. I asked God to take away my pain. God said, no, it is not for me to take away, but for you to give it up. I asked God to grant me patience. God said, no, patience is a byproduct of tribulations. It is granted. It is not granted. It is earned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said, no, I give you blessings. Happiness is totally up to you. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said, no, you must grow on your own. But I will prune you and make you fruitful. I ask God for all things that I may enjoy life. God said, no, I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. I ask God to help me love others as much as he loves me. God said, ah, finally, you got it. If you wish to be my follower, you must take up your cross and follow me. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.